Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Morning/afternoon, because it just crossed 12 o'clock. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we thank you for just speaking to our hearts and teaching us why you chose us as your people to do what you called us to do and to be what you've called us to be, so that we can be a light to the world. And so, Lord, I pray for you to speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying, and help us to be what you intended for us to be in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So last week we talked about, why did God choose the church? And why doesn't God just come down and manifest himself? And we read the Exodus passage, how he came, he really, really did come down. And people saw him and heard, well, actually they more heard him than saw him. They saw all the smoke and the fire and everything, that God used that stuff not as a prop, but actually for their protection. Because if they did see him, they couldn't live, as the scripture says. So he tells them, he gives them the Ten Commandments and tells them what they're supposed to do. And after he gave them the Ten Commandments, they said, that's enough, Moses. We don't want him to talk to us anymore, but we'll listen to you. Right? That's what he told them, right? So God always needed, or no, I should never say God needed, because God really doesn't need anything. God always wanted to partner. Everybody say partner. With people. And that's because he loves people. He loves us. Everybody say he loves us. I know we read that all the time. We say that all the time. But God really, 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 you can't say enough reallys, he really loves people. And it's a mystery because people don't love him. And that's the mystery. Because God has done everything we have, the billions that people have acquired, God put in the earth. And we attribute it to our ingenuity, our smarts, our wisdom, our inventiveness, our marketing, our whatever you name it. But as soon as something bad happens, why did God? we're the good, God's the bad. Why did God take my children? What kind of a good God would take my children away? What kind of a good God would make me be raised without a parent? What kind of a God lets the world starve? What kind of a, well, God never let the world starve. As statistically, we know that there is far more than enough food in the earth to feed every person on this planet. Amen? Everybody knows that. Matter of fact, America grows enough food by itself to feed the world. But the problem is, when you send money, food to places, it never gets to the people who need it, because somebody is on the other end hoarding and keeping and collecting and profiting from it. It's like we give all this aid to countries, and then all of a sudden you hear the president is leaving the countries, and he's got these secret bank accounts with billions of dollars because they kept all the money. It never got to the places where it was supposed to get to. And that's because our hearts are evil. We always want it for ourselves. And so it's not that God has allowed what has happened, but he's not the cause of any of it. Do you understand the difference between that, allowing and causing? God has allowed it because he gave you the choice to choose. So he allows you to make bad choices. It's just like a test you take. It's multiple choice. If you know the right answer, guess what? You get it right. If you don't know the right answer, you what? Everybody say it? You get it wrong. And if you get it wrong, guess what? There's a consequence to getting it wrong. And the world has got things wrong because it doesn't recognize that God wants to make things right. So when we look at the church is God's partner to help make the world a place where things can be right again or made right. Now, the reality of it is that nothing is going to be made completely right until Jesus physically returns and rules the earth. Amen? Amen? Everybody knows that, right? No matter how much we fast, no matter how much we pray, there's always going to be a sinner that just won't accept Christ. Huh? That's the reality. Judas lived with Jesus. They spent the night together, not in a weird way, but they went from place to place. He ministered with Jesus. But Jesus called him a devil. He said, did I not choose 12 of you and one of you is a devil? And you ask him, well, Jesus, why did you choose him? Because he had a choice. He didn't have to be the devil, but he chose to follow Satan instead of God. And the scripture says all 12 left him. Huh? When the time came for his arrest, after Peter sliced off an ear, they all cut out. Right? Everybody knows that, right? So Judas wasn't alone in his rebellion. He just took it a step beyond what they took it. Amen? The Bible says Satan wanted Peter. And he says, Peter, Satan's comes and he wants to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. And then he says, so when you're restored, and in other words, you're going to have to go through a restoration process, then you will be able to strengthen the brethren. But he wanted all of them. But he wanted Peter and he got Judas. And so we have to see that no matter, even though God chooses us, because we are such a fallen creation, we can't always see the right way unless we allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. Did you catch that? Because we can't see like God wants us to see. The Holy Spirit has to open our eyes to see. We read this passage in Matthew 16. Let's go to that again so that we could just rehearse some of the things that we did the last time. So it's Matthew 16. I think it's 16 through 18 or something to that effect. To there, say amen. It says here, Simon, well, actually, let's go back, 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Don't take everybody else's word, but who do you say that I am? He says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Or if you want to get technical, he says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Everybody read that with me. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter didn't have a greater intellect than everybody else. God opened his eyes to see who Jesus was. Do you see that? So then we should not get disturbed when we share the gospel and people don't see it. Are you with me here? Because it takes God to open their eyes. Peter's with 11 other guys who don't answer the question. They all are saying, Jeremiah's dead, man. What are you talking about? John the Baptist has just died. What are you talking about? Elijah. Well, we don't know what happened to Elijah. We know he got caught up. But he says, but who do you say that I am? And Jesus, Peter said, you are the Christ. And then he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Well, what's the rock? The rock of Peter? Well, no. Why would God build his church on Peter? When the next verse, he says, get behind me, Satan. Because you've missed it. For that revelation. See, and so that shows us that even though God has revealed something to us, that does not mean we have got it all. So we always have to surrender to the revelatory truth of the Spirit to keep us on our way. You want me to turn this fan off? Are you a little cold? You okay? Okay. But Peter, you know, after he identified who Jesus was, He tried to tell Jesus what he was supposed to do. No, Lord, that's not the message. You the Messiah. You're supposed to conquer the world. He ain't no talking about no crucifixion. That's not the place for that. And he just told us who he was. Who did he say he was? The Christ, the what? The Son of the living God. So he's higher than Peter. And Peter wants to tell him what his job is. And Jesus had to put him in his place. Satan, he says, the things you're talking about are of the flesh or earthly, which comes from demonic. So in other words, Peter received two revelations in just a few minutes. One was a revelation from the Holy Spirit, and the other one was a revelation from the devil. And he tried to run with the second one after he ran with the first. So why am I saying this? What does this have to do with the church? The church, Jesus said, would be based on the revelation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock that the church is based upon. And that's the thing that propels us to victory. And Jesus said, in going back to what he said to Peter, and he says, and I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, how can the gates of hell not prevail if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? But if you believe that everybody's going to heaven, everybody has the rightful place, they're all just great teachers, just pick one, then the gates of hell have already prevailed against you. Because now he has clouded the truth because you picked a different Messiah. Amen? So the first thing we have to see that the reason why he chose the church, he chose the church to be an expression of who he is. Everybody say the church is an expression of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not sure if this is in my notes. Let me check here. The reason, part of the problem that we've had in the church, and I'm not here to make right the wrongs of the thousands of years because that's not possible. But all I'm here to point out some of the flaws of the church. The biggest problem when the church was born, was it had to overcome the division of religious separation. You follow me here? Because Jesus now has identified him as the pinnacle of truth for Judaism, right? Because they were believing in a Messiah, and then the revelatory truth for the Gentiles. But he had to overcome all the paganism, all the false, and then the Jewish prejudice against the pagans, because they were the only ones at that time that had a revelatory truth about the one and true God. They had that revelation, but they did not accept. Let me back up. All of them, because we know some did not accept the revelatory truth that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why they killed him. Because they asked him at the trial, tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And he said, yes. And they either had to fall down and worship or crucify him, and they chose to crucify him. So prejudice had to be overcome, but only is overcome through revelation. Are you with me here? Do you understand what I'm saying here? There is a divide in the world, and it can only be overcome by revelation. Let's go to chapter 10. This is kind of a little bit of a detour from my notes, but I think this is important. So let's go to chapter 10 in the book of Acts, and I think it starts at verse 30-ish. So let's go there and get this thing to work. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. And those of us that have read this know the story. This is the story of Cornelius. Amen? Now, Cornelius is not a Jew. He's not Jewish. I got to be careful because some people think Jew is a derogatory term, so let's just refer to him as Jewish, okay? Although I've heard other Jews call themselves Jews, but nevertheless, let's just be straight, all right? So Cornelius is not Jewish, but he has some kind of a insight that God is showing him. Amen? Because the Bible, let's describe, look at how they describe him. And let's go to verse 1. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. So he's a Roman, and he's a soldier. Now, you talk about the most hated. You think people hate police today? They really hated the Romans because the Romans did really do all the things people say the police do. I mean, everybody in the police force is not bad. If they are, we all in trouble because they come and get your stuff next. But they're not. But anyway, let's go on. Centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms, so he's a giver. He believes in God. He's generously to the people and prayed to God always. So somewhere along the lines, Cornelius had a revelation that there is one God, but he had no revelation of his son. Amen? And that's the world. See, a lot of people want to believe in God, but that's just part of the truth. And then you've got to believe like Cornelius is about to believe. So let's look at what God does. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly, everybody say clearly, in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had observed him, he was afraid. Like I said, every time spirits, real spirits, good or bad spirits, you're afraid because you're not used to that encounter. There's something about them that is more powerful than we are. Amen? We think humans are the most powerful people on the earth, but when the angel shows up, we realize, no, we're not the most powerful people. So he says, don't be afraid. He says, no, I'm sorry, let's go back to 4. So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send this for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, and among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So God is preparing his heart. Amen? He told him what to do. He's going to do it. Then he has to go to Peter and get his heart prepared. Why? Because naturally we do not work with other people. You get that? Naturally, we tend to gravitate to the people that we're used to. Somebody asked me when I was teaching at Northwest College, he says, well, why do black folks all hang with black folks? Because black folks grow up with black folks, and so we hang out with what? And I just asked him, why do white folks all hang with white folks? Because that's who you're used to. And then when you get a business, who's the first people you hire? It's your people that you hung out with. Huh? I mean, isn't that what we did? You got your brother, a job, a cousin, maybe your children first. Maybe that was children first. Then all the people we know, we hang out with who we know because we're used to them. Amen? And so prejudice becomes... It's just, you're just not comfortable with people that you're not used to. And then the enemy gets in there and tries to describe why you're not comfortable. And all that is a lie, but that's what the enemy uses. Amen? And then what happens is, as we listen to what the devil says about why people are different, then we make it so that we're better than them, and so we got to figure out a way to keep them from associating with us because they're different. That's the flesh. That's the world. But this is what God does. So let's go to verse 12. It says, he pulls down a sheet for Peter, and it says, and in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Lord, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again and said the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now let's take a little bit of a principle from the scriptures here. He didn't do it once. He did it three times, okay? The Bible says in the mouth of two, let everything be, or two or three, let everything be established. So God was confirming to Peter that this was from him. All right? Is everybody with me on that? But Peter does not know what this dream means right away, right? He says in verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what the vision which he had seen meant, so he didn't know what it meant. I bet you Peter thought it was talking about food. No, because that's what he saw. He told him to rise and kill and eat. And he thought, because we know the Jewish people don't eat pork. Nobody eats pig. Everybody eats pork or bacon. Or anyway, they don't eat pork. They don't eat fish that don't have scales and fins on it. So they don't eat shrimp. They don't eat clams. They don't eat that kind of stuff. They don't eat meat or animals that don't have a split hoof and chew the cud. So they eat cows. They don't eat rabbit. I didn't know that, but they don't eat rabbit. So there's a lot of don'ts that they do, and we know that Leviticus lists the things that they can and can't. They do eat grasshoppers, which to me is a interesting thing, but nevertheless, I've never had a grasshopper, so maybe it's great, and I'm just missing out. Anyway, so he says, so he's pondering about what it meant, and behold, the men who had been sent by from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So these are now Gentiles going to a Jewish man's house. People he did not grow up with. People he did not hang out with. People he did not feel comfortable with. Huh? You ever been there? But look what Peter finally gets. He says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said, everybody say the Spirit said. See, don't you see that how God has to get our hearts in line with what he wants to do, or we won't do it? Because I guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit did not tell Peter to go, what would have happened? Come on, talk to me. What would have happened? He would not have gone. Because I'm a Jew. I don't eat with Gentiles. Thanks for coming. I'm not going. That's what would have happened. And then the church would not have seen what God had in store for it. Are you with me here? God is about integrating. And see, and I said this, and we need to get this. God really has nothing, no problem with color. He has a problem with unbelief. He has problems with pagan worship. He has problems with not obeying what he tells you to do. But he doesn't care what color your skin is, because he created everybody. Amen? So don't, you know, we need to get off this color thing, because it's really about what is what you believe. You know, people always want to walk around and say, well, Jesus was a black man, and Jesus was that. Okay, if he was, have you accepted him yet? Or are you still trying to just be, because he's my brother, I can? No, he died for your sins. Have you accepted him as such? Forget it. Okay, maybe he's black, but have you accepted Christ as your Savior? That's the question, not the color of his skin. Not that he has a fro in heaven. None of that. Have you accepted him as your Savior? Or are you still of the crowd of unbelief, which God does not like? Amen? So let's go on. Let's read here. So the Holy Spirit says to Peter, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing. And read the last part together. For what? Everybody read that with me. For I have sent them. Say it with me. For I have sent them. Jesus? You've been talking to the Gentiles behind my back? I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you into his house and to hear his word from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him, Peter, because he needed some witnesses, because everybody didn't see the vision. Are you with me here? Because he's going to get back, and he's going to be in trouble. Right? He's going to be in trouble, and we see the trouble that comes later. So Peter goes, verse 24 says, let's see here. Now, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called them to call together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, wait a minute. I thought Cornelius was worshiping the only true and living God. Isn't that what it said at the beginning? What's he doing falling down at the feet of a man? Well, because he's confused. Everybody say confused. Because the only thing that takes away our confusion is acceptance of Jesus Christ. Even if you believe that there is a God in heaven, you're still a little bit confused because you don't have the full picture. In this day, Caesar was called God. The phrase Jesus is Lord was a direct slap against the Caesar worship because they used to call Caesar Lord. But nevertheless, let's move on. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And he said, he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Let me see if I can skip through some of this. Let's go to 34. So Peter, after seeing the vision, after God by his Spirit spoke to him to go, right? He's got two confirmations here. Then listen to what Peter says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." So he's getting it. He's getting it. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." That the word you know, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's not what I wanted to get to that, but I wanted to read something else. Well, let me just move on. Let me just read the rest of that. "We are witnesses of all these things which he did," verse 39, "both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to those, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is he who has ordained was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets, the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, Jewish, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So here we see God does the same to them as he did to them on the day of Pentecost. And they were surprised. Why were they surprised? They weren't like us. They're not circumcised. They're not a part of the children of Abraham. Their father's not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Israel. They have no right to this except the right given by who? God. So Peter realizes, it's not about circumcision. It's about the truth. And the church, and this is what God intended for the church to demonstrate, is that if God accepts people, we need to accept people. Everybody say that. If God accepts somebody, we accept them. What does that mean? Does that mean that everybody can just do what they want in the church? Absolutely not. Because you have to come into this thing the way he tells you to come in. You don't get to come in like you want to be. You know, we have the We have a generation that says, I just want everybody to accept me like I am. There's no gospel for that. But the gospel says, come as you are, and he will change you. Amen? Don't try to go clean up first. See, this is where we go wrong. I got to get cleaned up first, and then I can become the church. No, he will clean you up when you get here. And then once you come, you will be changed if you submit to him. Amen? It's all about submission. Notice how Peter had to change, but he didn't change until he did what? Obeyed and submitted. Peter could, like I told you, Peter could have looked at that vision and came to the conclusion, you know what? I can eat pork ribs now. I could go get me some bacon. Because he said, he don't call nothing unclean that he, I can go buy me some crawfish. That's how we could have interpreted that vision. Come on now. Don't act like I'm talking like I'm crazy. That's what he could have come to. But God didn't just leave it to your natural understanding. He has to work you through this thing. Then he says, go, Peter. Don't ask any questions. I sent them. What is he going to say to that? God's over there talking to the Gentiles. What's wrong with God? That's what we say. What's wrong? Doesn't God know these people? What kind of people these are? Don't they know their parents? Their parents' parents? They don't have the heritage we have. They can't hang with me. But he says they can hang with me. And if you want to hang with me, you're going to hang with them. And some churches say, then I'm not hanging with you. I'm going to hang with me. And so then those churches are dying. Or they take in and don't chase. See, it's not so much that we don't want to take in the sinner. And he says, friend, how did you get in here? How did you get in here without dressed like that, basically, he said. And he couldn't speak. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't just break. I do what I want to do. What are you asking me that for? Don't you know who I am? He just said, bind him up and throw him out. Tie him up and throw him out. Jesus said that? Because you don't come to his events like you want to come. You have to come like he invited you. Amen? So the church is a place to bring the unity of the heavens to the earth, but not on your terms. It's always got to be on his terms or there is no unity. The unity is not amongst us. The unity starts there and then comes down here because it all has to stem from him. Peter would not have seen the unity had God said, go and don't ask any questions. So one of the main reasons why God has chosen us as the church is to bring a unity under his banner of truth, of revelation. And unity cannot come in the flesh because we have too many problems deep down. Some folks don't want black folks to lead because they don't trust black folk. Some people don't want white folks to lead because they don't trust white folk. But if the Holy Spirit tells you to follow whoever it is, you better just do it. It doesn't, color, what, doesn't matter what color he is, or she in that case. Some folks don't want to be led by a woman. Deborah had that problem. Says, folks ain't going to follow me. Barak said, I ain't going unless you go. He says, all right, but some folks ain't going to want to go because I'm a woman. But if God calls people to do something, We have to just do it. Amen? Peter, and that's the change that we see in Peter. He did not contend for his own ways anymore once the day of Pentecost came. Peter was a changed person. He wasn't pulling out his switchblade anymore. You know, the folks, you know, they came up on Peter again in the temple. He could have cut off some ears there too. He's like, come back up, back up. I'm ready. I got my sword. Don't come up on me like that too fast. Don't you remember, what's the guy's name he cut off? Malchus. Don't you know, remember Malchus? That was only a couple weeks ago, y'all. I cut off his ear. Don't be messing with, no, that's not Peter anymore. He submitted. He was arrested. But he did not compromise. He told them, they told him, don't talk in that name anymore. As whether you I should obey God or man, you make that choice. Peter was a changed man. And Peter learned, whoops. Peter learned to be led by the Spirit because he had experienced what it happens when you're not. Amen? I mean, the denial. I mean, Peter was down for Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'll die for you. You know, you don't know how much I'm ready to die for you. I got my sword. And they come, man, don't think I ain't ready to die. And as soon as they came, I don't even know that guy, man. I cut off an ear. Yeah, well, no, dude, wasn't you out there? No, that wasn't me. That was not, it was my cousin, but it wasn't me. He just looked like me. I should have shaved tonight, this morning. It would have. I mean, you know, he's like denying he ever knew. Spent 3 years with the man. Act like he don't know him. And you talk about being hurt. Wouldn't that hurt us? Your best friend, you get in trouble. He's a witness. He said, no, I don't know Harold. I saw you with Harold. Yeah, they trying to convince him. I saw you with them. That was not me. That was not me. I don't know that guy. And the lady says, look, I know it was you. You even talk like him. Well, let me curb my words a little bit then. But Jesus came to bring a unity that was not possible unless we unite with the Spirit. Unite with the revelation that comes only from God. So you can't like another racial group until you understand that God wants unity in the world. And what you think is not important anymore. Amen? It's about what God wants. And so the question is, how can we reconcile? And it's not going to happen through, you know, meetings where we say, well, you did this to our ancestors and you did this. That's not going to be reconciliation. That's going to just bring outbursts. But what it's going to take is a heart change where we say, you are God's creation. I am God's creation. We're all fallen and we need Jesus. And the only thing that's going to change us is if we get washed in the blood. And everybody say, and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to lead us. Because if we don't, problems arise. I mean, can you imagine the church got to the place in the 1300s where they were putting out contracts on people? Yes, the church, not the mafia. The church sent out to the German king and said, send Martin Luther back so we could execute him for believing that we are saved by grace through faith only. Send him back so we can execute him. That's the church. That's not what God intended. I was reading one of the church fathers yesterday, or not yesterday, last week, and I won't even tell you who he was, but he said, heretics need to be executed. You know what a heretic is? Somebody that does not believe the right truth. So if you were didn't believe traditional Christianity, you were subject to execution. That's not God's plan. God's plan was to get them back. Paul talks about it in his letters. Maybe you have to disfellowship, but your job is to try to get them back restored. Restore them. Not to find the first gun and start shooting them. And thank God we're not there, but what we have is a strong dividing line because of what happened. So we still have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring unity. Amen? Because God is united with his people. Make no mistake, his people don't go to just one church or one denomination or one country or one city. His people are all over the world. His people. Amen? His people don't all speak English. They're not all one color. But they're all the ones that want to follow him and the Lamb and wherever, whithersoever, as the book of Revelation says, they go. That's his people. But we have to learn to be united under the banner of the Spirit and not under the flesh. Because it's not about flesh, it's about spirit unity. Amen? And so the church is God's vehicle to bring unity. And you look around and sometimes you say, God's got a lot of work to do. No, all he has to do is get a people who will obey. Just get a people who will listen and obey. That's all he needs. And we want to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to go home.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.